All right. Thank you so much for that. That's a brand new song. That's beautiful and well done. If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, for a moment to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. And we'll start right there tonight. Matthew 2. What a great spirit tonight. Just a great spirit. Church attendance was up this morning. We had 6 very first-time visitors or first-time riders on the buses. And someone brought a cousin to church today. We had a family visiting from New Orleans. And you pronounce it Nolens. That's the proper pronunciation, Nolens. If you're from there, if you say New Orleans, you're not from there. If you say New Orleans, that's 3 syllables. It's 1 syllable, Nolens. Maybe it's 2 syllables. Okay, but we're in Matthew chapter number 2 here. And we're going to speak on this subject tonight as we approach some of the Christmas holidays and kids being at home and relatives dropping in, resolving conflicts during the holidays. Amen. Resolving conflicts during the holidays. We're not just going to talk about having conflicts, though some would be glad to just hear us talking about that, but it's resolving conflicts. Let's stop for a moment. Someone thinks of this, they said, especially if you're young, you may say, I don't even get what you're talking about, Pastor. What do you mean resolving conflicts? Here's what we're saying. Here's what happens. As you get older, you meet more people. And perhaps one day you'll marry, and now you have a permanent roommate. So that means there's 2 opinions. There's 2 ways of doing things. You can squeeze the toothpaste at the bottom and roll it up very neatly the way it's supposed to be done. Or you can carelessly and wickedly just grab it right in the middle and just squeeze it wherever you want to. Many times that's where divorce starts. It's right there. It's how you handle the toothpaste, or maybe it's how you replace the toilet paper. Everyone with any wisdom knows you replace it where the paper is closest to you coming down. It's never in the back where you have to reach under. Some of you are saying, I didn't even know there was a right side. See, you're the people we're talking about. And so there's conflict. You marry. Then you have children. And not every child's going to see eye to eye. And so there's conflict. He did that. She did that. He said this. He said that. He called me that. And there's conflict. Then you go off to college, whether you go to secular college or in the dorms or a Bible college. Now you have something that comes from the tribulation period called roommates. And you have these people that do things differently in your sentence. Excuse me. You get to share the dormitory room with them, and they leave their laundry and they leave their soap and this and that. And some are morning people. They don't care about those that are sleeping in. Others are evening people. And so guess what you're doing? You're having to learn how to resolve conflicts. And then you get a job, and now you're working with coworkers who have opinions and they do things differently. You have to figure out how to get along. And in some cases, some people may call you, the Lord may call you to ministry, and then you're working with all kind of different people, different personalities. You've got male and female, and that's still the only 2 types in the Bible. I'm sorry, there's 69 or whatever, but it's male and female. They think differently. And then you've got the 4 personality types, and you got saved people, lost people. They think differently, spiritual, non-spiritual. So you got all these combinations and chances for conflict, not getting along with people. And so we need to figure out, how do we resolve these? How do you resolve these things? And I want to say this by way of introduction tonight. All conflict starts with our conflict with the Lord. He says in Psalm chapter 2, he talks about, he said, kiss the Son, talking about the Son of God, lest I be angry. And he talks about anger issues, and he talks about getting along with people. Now here's how it is. If we're not getting along with him, we're going to have problems getting along with them. And so all conflict at some point begins with a conflict with the Lord. I like what Brother Johnson said. He's a pastor, if you don't know him. He says, I'd have a great church if it weren't for people. Well, they'd have a great pastor if it wasn't for people. So I want to just talk about this for a little while. We're in Matthew chapter 2. That's where we'll be tonight. And we'll start with one of the Christmas stories and look at a little of the conflict here. And someone said this humorously. They sent me a picture of Mary and Joseph, and Mary's on the donkey and expecting, and Joseph is listening, and she says, "You didn't make a reservation?" And then it said, "That was the first silent night." So there could have even been a little conflict at the very beginning there. But notice in Matthew 2, we see King Herod here looking down into verse number 3. We're not going to tell the whole story. It's the wise men that show up. It says, when Herod, chapter 2 of Matthew verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, notice how it words it, he demanded them where Christ should be born. He didn't ask. He wasn't kind about it. He was demanding. And then we see a little bit further down. So he's angry that this thing is happening, that there's a king being born. And then in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof. So we see two conflicts that King Herod had at this time. One, he had a conflict with the wise men. He was upset that they did not come back and tell him where the baby Jesus was. So here's this conflict. These three people he just met, or however many it was, he's angry at them. Conflict. And then he's angry at baby Jesus for being born. You know, it's an amazing thing. And our country is angry at these little babies for being born. Just to show you how ridiculous some people are, if you're keeping up with the news, you know they're fighting the Supreme Court trying to get abortion outlawed, and they're fighting it. One person had a picket sign, probably a graduate of our state schools, and it said this, "Abortion saves lives." Just to show the mentality of people. There's some conflicts, a lot of conflicts we have to deal with. Let's pray. Father, bless this time. Help us as we enter into this season where we could let our light shine and we could win souls and make a difference in coworkers and neighbors and relatives and unsaved people we're trying to reach. I pray that we'd not be defeated. So many times I hear there's drunkenness during the Christmas holidays. There's fighting. There's feuding. There's families not speaking. There's family rivals. I pray that you would help us avoid all of that and give us some wisdom on it. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are, cause and cure. What's the cause of our conflicts with others? I want to give you these. Here they are. Number one, we're going to go fast, pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. So if you wonder, the number one thing that causes arguments and rifts and tension and ongoing feuds, it's pride. Pride says, I know more. Pride says, I have more. Pride says, I am more. And we never want to have that attitude. It was the meek and lowly Jesus riding into town on the back of that donkey. We want to have that meek spirit, never pride. And I want to just say this, as God is blessing our church and he has met during this pandemic all the tithes and offerings, I'm seeing nicer cars in the parking lot. Many people have better jobs, nicer clothes, nicer this, nicer that, better vacations. Walk humbly, dear member. Walk humbly. You did not always have all these things. You did not have all these benefits. You didn't always have all these blessings. Remember where they came from, because pride starts creeping in and says, look at me. I heard about this frog, and he was, long story, I don't have time to get into it. I'll tell you some other time. And so number two, here it is. Someone put it this way. They said, if you ever drive by a fence post and see a turtle on top of the fence post, you'll know it had help getting there. And every one of us, to some degree, is like that turtle on top of a fence post. God helped us get where we are today. Pride, it'll cause contention and conflict. Number two, prayerlessness. You can look these verses up later. James 4, 1 and 2, it says, whence come wars and fightings among you? And James answers it. He says, come they not even of your own lusts, your desires? You're wanting something. You're wanting people to treat you a certain way. You're wanting people to respond a certain way, and they don't respond the way you think they ought to. And then there's conflict. Conflict. Prayerless. He says, ye have not because ye ask not. When we pray little, there's more conflict. When we pray much, there's less conflict. Our time in prayer with the Lord resolves conflicts in us and helps us be more peaceable to others. Number three, our flesh. And we mentioned that today. It's just our nature. It is our nature to argue. It is our nature to say things that come in our mind. It is our nature to get even. That old flesh, it's very ugly. It is very ugly. And it doesn't win anyone to Christ. Sometimes it's just this old flesh. Well, she's always looked down on me, and I've always known that. They've always thought I was the black sheep of the family, and we don't care about them, and we could do it. And nothing gets resolved. Right, see, God made every person that is, so there must be a reason that they exist. Amen. And for you and I to think God had a bad day when he made them, I don't even know why he made them. God's wondering why he made you. Number four, why the conflict sometimes during Christmas? More interaction. You know, you can only have friction when things are moving. You put two rocks on top of each other, there's no friction. Things that are moving have friction. And I want to say this, in a church like ours where there's always something going on, there is more chance for friction than if you went to the Catholic church where you walk in, sit in the back, no one knows who you are, you stand kneel, eat the cracker, drink the juice, go home. There's not going to be any interaction. You don't know anyone and there's no activity. You kind of follow what I'm saying? But in a church like ours, there's Sunday school classes. There's a nursery. There's children's classes. There's plays and there's programs. And well, my kid didn't get picked. My kid's been a donkey for 12 years. And now he's in Brother Brett's class. He's in college and career. And he's still a donkey. Why is he always a donkey? Because he's a donkey. No, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm just saying, more friction. Well, my kid got elbowed in the basketball game, and that was Friday night, and no one took care. It's just the more you're around each other. There's camps, there's conferences, there's teen activities, there's collegiate activity, there's a ladies' activity tomorrow, there's a ladies' conference. How come I never get picked to help do that? See, more friction, more possibility for conflict. It's just a mathematical equation. Well, how come I never get picked to sing a solo? Here's the answer. Because you can't sing. Okay. Just kind of resolve that. We've always kidded. We have this song that the kids always sang, We Three Kings. And like for 30 years, during the Christmas program, and I don't know if they're singing it here tomorrow night, next week, but usually it'd be three boys who do the best they can, but they can't hit a note. We three kings of Orient are travel afar. It's just terrible. Well, I found out in the next week or so, one of my grandkids in a distant area is going to be singing, he's one of the We Three Kings. So it's passed on. More interaction quickly here. Next, idleness. Idleness. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:13, I'll read this quickly. And with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. When people are not busy, when they're idle, when they're home all the time, they don't have responsibilities, they don't have kids to raise, grandkids to raise, and they don't have a strict schedule, when they don't have anything on their plate, it's easy to talk a lot. And when we get idle, we talk a lot. That's why we never have slumber parties for the girls in our church. Because It's, well, who are we going to talk about now? Well, let's talk about so-and-so. And soon it's gossip and it's criticism. It's never good. You want to plan your life. You don't want to have idle time. They had idleness in Sodom and Gomorrah, and idle mind is the devil's workshop. Idleness. Be busy. Number next, the herdman. The herdman, not hurt, but herd, like cattle and sheep. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 7, the Bible talks about Abraham and Lot. He's raising his nephew Lot, and they get along just fine. But it said, but their herdmen, there was strife with the herdmen. The guys who ran their herds, their sheep or their cattle, their workers did not get along. There was strife. And Abraham looked at Lot and he says, let there be no strife between us. But it wasn't them. They got along fine, but it was the herdmen. Now, let's translate that here. Sometimes you can get along fine with someone, but your friend doesn't. So is that friendship down the drain? Sometimes, here's a set of parents, and their kids somehow have a rift between each other. Now, all of a sudden, those parents don't like each other. The herdmen. The herdmen. Sometimes, that's where it is. These relatives don't get along with these relatives. These children don't get along with these children. These friends don't get along with these friends. That's where the Hatfields and the McCoys started. The hillbilly feud that just kept going on for years. And you said I stole this and I never stole that. And they started shooting each other up for, I believe, 80 years. And after a while, they never even knew why they hated. The Hatfields didn't even know why they were supposed to hate the McCoys. The feud had gone so long, it never even pertained to any of them. It was a couple of them, and then it just kept being fueled. You never want to be like that. If somebody doesn't get along with somebody and they get along with me, okay, moving right along. That's kind of deep. Number seven, quickly. Too many shared decisions. Too many shared decisions. And that's why it's important as you start raising kids, if you have kids, especially teenagers, mom and dad need to sit down and say, now, what are our rules going to be? What are we going to do? What's right? What's wrong? Where are we going to let them go? Who are we going to let them hang around? What's the television rules? What's the music rules? What about the clothing rules? What are we going to do here? You need to talk it all out, make those decisions so you're not spur of the moment making those decisions. Amen. It's kind of like Sunday night church. We go on a night or not? Well, I don't know. Ask the kids. Y'all want to go tonight? What's nothing going on? Yeah, I guess we'll go. And it's decisions every Sunday night. Decisions Sunday morning. Decisions Wednesday night. Decisions soul winning. Are we going to tithe this week? Well, we got any money left over? Oh, I guess we will. The more decisions you make in advance, the less conflict in your life. Amen. I've often said, and you may be the exception, it's probably not best for husbands and wives to grocery shop together. A man is a conqueror. That's just how God has made him. The faster, the better. Amen. If it's shopping, what do you want? I need a red dress. What size? Anything between a 6 and a 16. Okay, stay in the car. I'm heading out. Man, he's timing himself, running through the mall. Red dress. Got a red dress? Put it in the bag. What is it? Size 8? It's close enough. Here we go. 3 minutes. No. That's not what she wants. She wants to get an ice cream. She wants to try on a pair of shoes. It's totally different. So when a man shops, he says, what do we need? Green beans. He looks at the counter and he says, here's the green beans. She goes, no. Del Monte. Now he's putting it back. Strike one. He's been in the store 1 minute. Strike one. He's failed already. And he, okay, here's Del Monte. Puts it in. He said, let's go. She goes, no. French cut. Strike two. We're still on the beans. Puts them back there. And now he's going a little bit. Here it is. 32 ounce. Three strikes and he's just on the beans. There'll be a divorce before they get out of the grocery store. So what happens? Sometimes it's just best not to share a lot of decisions. Don't have input into everything. You buy a house, the wife, someone just needs to say, pick the colors. I don't care. If we have a refrigerator, I'm happy. You're going on a vacation. Some people come back like this at the end of a vacation. You didn't agree on the motels. You argue about the prices on the motel. Are we getting a king size, a double size? Are we getting a suite? Does it have a pool? Does it have a breakfast? Here's all these decisions. Just let someone pick the motel. Let someone pick the restaurants. You'll do better. Too many shared decisions. Heard about a church that were having a business meeting. They were voting on if they should buy a chandelier for the auditorium. A chandelier. One guy finally said, I'm against it. He said, number one, I don't think we have enough money for it. Number two, no one knows how to spell it. And then number three, we need some lights in this auditorium. And so, too many shared decisions. Number eight, too much time together. Now let me just talk to the people who may be dating or the people who are dating right now. When you start liking somebody, and I'm talking about, you know, when you're old enough, you're like second grade. No. But when you start liking someone, in my day, you know, you had a crush on someone. I don't know what they call it now. But when you like someone, you want to spend all the time you can with them. And that's usually not the best thing. The Bible says, hast thou found honey, something that's sweet to you? Don't eat too much of it, lest you get sick of it. He says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. What's he saying? Too much of a good thing is not good.
Amen.
You play too much, you're not going to enjoy that anymore. You spend too much time with one person, soon you're going to start disrespecting them or losing respect, too much familiarity, and soon the relationship's going to have problems. You want to be like a bow and arrow, pushing people away and pulling them towards you at the same time, where they said, oh, I wish they would stay longer, but they didn't stay too. That's kind of how you want to do it. Now, girls, if you're dating or falling in love with a guy, you want him to always wonder, do I have her? I thought I was reeling her in. She spit the hook. Unbelievable. Okay, fisherman term. Sorry about that. Too much time together. Next, gossip. It says, a whisperer separateth chief friends. You want to be a person that doesn't talk behind your friend's back about them negatively. We call that two-faced. We call that forked tongue. They speak one way to your face and another way when they post. They talk one way to your face and another way when they're on the cell phone. That's not what you want to be. You want to have long-lasting friendships, and the quickest way to end that is gossiping about somebody. Last, and I'm going to hurry with this, money. Money matters. If you want to have conflict, start dealing with money with somebody. In a church like ours, you just want to be careful. You may sell something. You may do this. You may have a service. You may have a company. I'm just saying, just be careful. Just be careful. Don't expect everything free. Don't expect everything a discount. Be careful if you swap trade, because someone may feel like they're getting the short end of it. Be careful selling cars to each other. It's a good car. Nothing's wrong with it. Give me $5,000. It blows the engine the next day. Guess what? Finders keepers, losers weepers. Yeah, you bought it. And then forever, he's going to look at me in church and say, that weasel, he knew it was leaking oil. What a crook. Now he's singing in the choir. What a hypocrite. Be careful as you deal with money with others. Now, just blanket statement here. Never borrow money from anybody. Never borrow money from anybody. Well, so-and-so's got a lot of money in the church. I can just tell their car and the way they dress, and God's given it to them to give to me. No, he hasn't. Anytime you borrow money, you're no longer a friend. You're now a servant. The borrower is servant to the lender. You would always do better. Pray, work extra, save, don't borrow. It changes everything. And don't loan. Now it changes. Well, they told me they'd give it back to me in 2 weeks, and 2 weeks has passed, and man, what's going on? Then they start avoiding you at church, and you start getting angry, and now you can't face it. It's leave it alone.
Amen.
Don't borrow. Sometimes I might be on the platform, and I don't have a dollar for the offering. I'll get it back. I may say, hey, give me a dollar, and I'll give it back. But I'm saying, just be careful. Okay, let's find out. How many of you right now, you have someone that owes you money? Right now. Would you slip your hand up? Okay. How many of you, if it's over $5,000, keep your hand up. Mine is up. $10,000, keep your hand up. Mine is up. $15,000, keep yours up. Mine is up. Wow, you got me beat. Wow, cool. Guess what? I'm not real happy with the people that owe me that money. Now, I've prayed for them. I have forgiven them. I probably shouldn't have let them get me over the barrel. I can't believe they took my money. You didn't have to give it to them. Okay, let's keep going. It's already conflict right now. Some of you right now, I'm so angry at that person. Let me make several statements. Every relationship has conflicts, whether it's husband and wife, dating and dating, friend and friend, church member and church member, co-worker and co-worker. There's conflicts. How you resolve conflicts will either undermine or strengthen that relationship. You cannot just axe every relationship. Well, that co-worker's out. Well, that church member's gone. No, you have to work at these things. Some offenses can be forgiven quickly without any discussion. If you can start there, that's the best. Okay? Story, I don't think I've told this in years and years. Maybe I never told it. I'd been here maybe a month. The church had refinanced to pull out some money, and we weren't even paying the building payment. We're so far behind. We're going to put in that parsonage, and it was going to take about $54,000 to put in that parsonage. Well, I drove to the plant where they made the double-wide trailer. I met with the president. I said, look, it'd be good advertisement if you gave us that parsonage for cost. It'd be, man, you would look so good if you did that. And everyone who asks, we'll tell them where we got it. Good advertisement for you, and it'll help us. He said, I'll do it. How about $25,000? So they moved that double-wide modular in. We led a man to the Lord. He built, helped us build the garage. Then we had money left over to refurbish the pews, put in brand new carpet, repaint the building. And it looked nice. Well, I got this scathing letter in the mail. How dare you spend all that money on carpet and fixing up the building? The former pastor would have never done that. What a waste. I mean, the church was a dump. It now looked nice. And I got that scalding letter in the mail. Just kept my mouth shut. You know, I was kind to that person. That person stayed in our church. I was kind. One day I got a letter. How wrong I was. Pastor, I am so glad you are here. I've learned so much since I've been here. I've grown in the Lord. I hired that person on staff. Amen. It was many years ago. Amen. You know, it's so quick to just give up on relationships. When someone maybe rubs you the wrong way, when maybe with a little wisdom you could win them over. Okay, let's keep going here. Some of you are just way over the head. I don't have any conflicts with anybody. You wait. You teenage boys, you wait. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Da 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 da. Well, the music does change. That's what I heard. And let me say this too. If you air grievances with others about people that have hurt you, then you minimize the possibility about ever resolving that relationship. I'll say another statement here. You need to realize some people are not capable of being appeased. I know. Pastor, I've gone to the Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I've done that. I've taken psychology courses. There is no one I can't get on my side. Really? Some people, you cannot appease them. I'm sorry, they're just wired that way. We had a church neighbor years ago. Some of you in the early days were here. The church neighbor bought the house just right across that little street here. He bought the house, moved in, and then was angry over all the people that were coming to church. He said it wasn't peaceful. He could hear cars cranking, leaving, little kids singing. They'd be on the swing set, people talking, going to their cars. And he called the district attorney on us. He called the police on us. Every time we had church, the police had to come out. I don't know if they still do that, Brother Jeff. You know, if there's disturbing of the peace. So I'm in the parsonage. I mean, it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, soul winning night. Anytime we had a youth activity night, the police knock on my door. Well, Reverend, we have to come. Your neighbor called again. Have to fill out a report. Is everything okay? Everything's okay. Well, we had to investigate. Okay, see you. Sorry, we're stopping by. They had come 32 times. Wow. 32 times. Finally, the police chief, Dan Monez at that time, and the district attorney called a meeting with me and the neighbor. We sat down, and they ended up saying, look, Pastor, y'all are wasting all of our police time coming to investigate. I said, y'all... You mean him? I said, I've not called you guys one time. We're happy. Did he not read the sign? C-H-U-R-C-H. This is a church. We were here. He moved here. And now he wants us to be quiet. You know, I said that very gracefully. And then the police chief said, I'm going to put both of you in jail. I said, well, hold it. We're. And he said, y'all need to work this out. We dropped a gift by his house. It was stuffed in the church mailbox the next day. He ended up on the corner of our property taking pictures of everyone coming in, I guess as evidence that you were disturbing the peace. He was on the corner of his property making obscene gestures and cursing each car that pulled in. I wish I had a video of it. Butch Miller was with me one day. Amen. Brother Butch, he's up in heaven now. He's sanctified now, but he wasn't then. He was fire chief. And we pulled in, and the neighbor made a gesture and said something filthy. And Butch said, open this door. And I just stopped. He chased the man to his house. The guy ran in his house. He started beating on the door. The pastor won't whip you, but I'll kick your blankety blank blank. I ain't sanctified like him. Come out, you coward. I said, go, Brother Butch. Go, go. You know, we never could resolve with that neighbor. I don't know if there was a mental problem. I don't know if he was hooked on drugs. He was overtaken with us being quiet 7 days a week. Finally, he moved. I think he's at Napa State Hospital now. No, I don't know where he moved. Finally, he moved. He was so angry. Some people cannot be appeased. Whether it's a relative, or it's a coworker, or it's a neighbor, they cannot. Let me give you these Bible words quickly, if you're jotting it down. Romans 1, 31. It says in the last days, people will be implacable. Now, that doesn't mean they don't brush their teeth. That word means stubborn, bullheaded, cannot be reasoned with. It's the type of person you could say, okay, neighbor. So what would it take to make you happy? You moved here. We have a church here. What would make you happy? Some people, they cannot be reasoned with. I'm just trying to tell you. You're not the only person that has met someone like that. Here's another word that God gives. Unreasonable in 2 Thessalonians 3:2. It simply means cannot be logicked with. Then what does God say? Three or four different verses. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 and 7, 11, verse 14, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. He says, withdraw yourself from them. No one is sentencing you to have to spend large amounts of time with those people. Withdraw yourself. You can't change them. You can't reason with them. You can't make them happy. Just withdraw. You cannot help everybody. A pastor of a large church, years ago, we had a family visiting over there. He called and he said, "Hey, just want you to know, so-and-so's visiting our church. I don't know if they're thinking of moving here or whatever." And here's what that pastor said. "If you can't pastor them, I bet I can't." So you say, what can you do, pastor? What are some practical things we can do? Number one, here it is. If you hurt someone, apologize. Matthew 5:21, you can read it on your own. If you bring your gift to the altar, there realize or remember that thy brother hath aught against thee. That means he has a reason to be upset with you. Leave your gift there, go make it right with him, and then come back. Sometimes we do hurt people with attitudes, with words, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose. Sometimes we don't even know we did it. So if you hurt someone, whether it was verbally, physically, emotionally, financially, you want to apologize. Get good at it. Jesus in the Beatitudes says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way. And I want to say this. On the way to church, if you're having an argument with your husband and wife, and there's a little is not, is to, is not, is to, you always, you never agree in the car before you get to church. We don't need you walking into church, just zip. You know, I can spot that. I know who's been arguing. Agree quickly, settle that thing. Learn to deal with that. Don't go to bed angry. Number two, if you got hurt, forgive. That's Matthew 18, 15 through 21. He talks about God forgave you. You need to learn how to forgive somebody. And I want to say this too. Q-tip, quit taking it personal. Amen. Pastor never put our baby's picture up here. Maybe because you weren't coming here. They missed my birthday again on the bulletin. It's funny, Miss Johnson, with this lady, used to come to our church years ago named Shirley Johnson. And she rode the bus. And then we have Shirley Johnston. So I announced last week, Mrs. Johnston's birthday's coming up. She texted me with a little happy face, two birthdays a year is too much, Pastor. Quit taking it personal. You never speak to me. Well, maybe because you never speak to me. We're never. We don't. I was speaking at Brother Rule's several years ago, and I told this story about this guy named Dumb Brown. That's what they actually called him way back in the 40s or 50s. He couldn't speak. And back then, they didn't say mute. A lot of times, they'd say dumb. It didn't mean lacking mental capabilities, but that was actually what the whole community called him, Dumb Brown. I told the whole story. After the church service, a lady came up and said, "I don't appreciate your story." I said, "Okay." Now, my flesh was about to say, "I don't appreciate how you looked during the whole sermon." You know, pastors can get real smart aleck too. And I said, "So what's the deal?" "Well, I've got this child and they're mute." I said, "Okay. I don't appreciate you using the word dumb during the whole story." I said, "Ma'am, I did not mean to hurt you. I had no idea you had a mute child. This is the story. This is how it reads. This is what they called him. It was not on purpose." And she wouldn't let that go the whole time. "Well, I just don't appreciate it." "Oh, okay, well, I'm sorry. So what else do I need to say to you? I mean, do I..." You don't want to be that person. Amen. That person makes a miserable mate. Amen. That person makes a miserable parent. That person makes a miserable church member. You've got to learn. You get hurt, you hurt, deal with that thing, get out the door, get your car, sing all the way home, bring some joy to your house, get over that thing.
Amen.
If you're not careful, you get a burr under your saddle, or you get a little straw, and then pretty soon, well, that's the last straw. Well, there never should have been a first straw.
Amen.
What are you doing, straw counting? The goal is never to punish the person who's hurt you. It's to restore. Give you something interesting. And if I was president, here's how we'd do it. You read sometimes people thrown in prison. It was usually the enemies like Rome who had prisons. Israel didn't have a lot of prisons. You know, if you raped, you got stoned. If you kidnapped, you got stoned. It saved a lot of prison space. If you blasphemed, you got stoned. If you rebelled against your parents, you got stoned. So there wasn't a whole lot of trials and a whole lot of jails. Now, if you stole, you got beaten publicly. You were publicly drunk, you hurt someone, you got beat publicly. They'd just lay you down. If you were a man, they'd take your shirt off, they'd take some whips, give you your spanking in front of everybody. Then they said, all right, get back to work. See you later. It's done. It was over. They gave the spanking. Now it ends. And that's how we need to be with people. Whatever it is it takes to resolve the dispute or the conflict, it's got to end.
Amen.
Same thing with child rearing. If you're giving your child a spanking, it's over. You hug them. You pray. You don't add to the fury and say, now go to your room and shut the light off and no supper. No. The spanking ends. And that's how we have to be in relationships. Relationships are too valuable to be taken lightly. I think of Jesus. Thomas, you doubt it. Hey, come here. Touch my hands. That's all he said to him. He didn't make him kneel down and beg forgiveness. Hey, touch the hands. Peter, you love me? Hey, let's eat some fish together. Come here. Do you love me? He has spent 3 years on those relationships, so now he's restoring. James and John, should we call down fire from heaven? Oh, you don't know your... Come on, brothers. Hang on. 11 men. Sometimes he corrected them. Sometimes he said things to them. They were valuable. He dealt with some conflict. 11 denied that they knew him. They ran off. But still he restored them, made them a church, and sent them out.
Amen.
Two stories and I'm done. Probably old stories, but there's two new people here tonight. So please, you know, just on purpose. So years ago, we had three different guys that worked here on staff. They were all young. Three different colleges represented, Howes Anderson, Golden State, and West Coast. Well, I'm out soul winning on Clay Street, door to door, and by myself. I get a phone call. It's Brother Chappell. Brother Paul Chappell had nothing to do that day, so probably bored, kind of idle, and wanted to chit-chat. But he's getting that college going, getting that church going, big, mega church. And he calls and he says, Pastor Ray. I said, Brother Chappell, what are you doing? He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm soul winning. I'm at a door right now. He said, you got a minute? I said, yeah, I got a minute. I said, what's going on? He said, are we okay? I said, Brother Chappell, what in the world is that supposed to mean? Men don't say those words, are we okay? I said, cut through everything. I have no idea what you're talking about. What's up? He said, well, we were scheduling our tour group to come sing in all the churches, and you have us every year, and we called your church. And one of your assistants that answered the phone said, Pastor Ray would not want your singing group to sing at our church because he teaches at Golden State, so we wouldn't be needing you. He said, our tour group leader loves you and loves your preaching, loves being around you, and started crying and came to my office and said, I don't know what's going on. We always sing at that church, and they don't want us. He said, are we okay? I said, Brother Chappell, I have no idea what just happened. I said, I'll get to the bottom of it. So I called one of our staff guys. I said, hey, He answered the phone. I said, I don't appreciate you getting me in hot water with Brother Chapel. I'm out here trying to witness and go door to door, and he's all upset. I said, don't speak for me when they call. He said, Pastor, I didn't take that call. I said, don't you lie to me. He said, I didn't take that call. I said, well, hand the phone to Brother Abbott. Brother Abbott answered the phone. Hello? I said, Brother Abbott, I know you went to Howells Anderson College. Brother Chapel's group just called. I don't appreciate you telling him we don't speak for me. I'll speak for me. He said, I didn't take that call. I said, all right. Hand the phone to Brother Miracle. He graduated from West Coast. That's his alma mater. He was trained by the Paul Chapel himself. I said, William, did the tour group just call you? Yes, sir. They sure did. And I helped you out, Pastor. I told them we wouldn't be needing them because you teach at another college. I said, did I tell you to say that to them? He said, no, sir. I said, you shouldn't have said that to them. I said, Brother Chapel's all upset. People are crying. I said, yes, we want to have them. He said, well, I just assumed. I said, don't assume, William. Called Brother Chapel back. Said, Brother Chapel, just want you to know, I got to the bottom of it. The confronter, here it is. I said, it was not the guys from the other two colleges that answered the phone. It was the guy you trained at your college for 4 years. The guy you bet all your chips on, going to be the Mr. Missionary. That's who answered for you. I told that story in his church. You know why Paul Chapel and I are still friends to this day? Anytime I catch a fish or shoot an animal, I send it to him, and I always say, your ministry is getting in the way of your recreation. And he'll always say, I wish I was there. I'm so envious. I wish I was there. But you know why we're still friends? Because we talked something through. We had years invested in a friendship. We weren't going to let one dumb phone call answered by someone that didn't say something that was real wise separate a whole friendship. Nor should you. Amen. I'm done with this. Here's the watch. Years ago, a dear lady in our church who had a jewelry shop that very, very faithful here, she gave me this watch for Christmas. And she said, Pastor, thank you for being my pastor and loving our family and so forth. I go through watches pretty fast. You know, the best brand is Timex at Walmart, $16.95. And that's about what I'd always had. Well, she bought me this. It's a little bit heavier. And I said, man, it doesn't even have numbers, but okay, it's fine. So I wore it about a year or two, and then it stopped working. I started looking a little closer. Tag Heuer. So I brought it to her store, and I asked her son-in-law, I said, is this worth fixing? He's kind of looked at me like, you dumb or what? I said, usually I just throw my watches away when they stop working. He said, we'll put a battery in it. I said, how much? He said, $75. I said, I don't pay that much for the watch. He said, well, that watch is $1,600. I said, put a battery in it for me, would you? Every relationship you have is an expensive watch. They're too expensive to throw away and give up on. They're valuable. Jesus died for them. He loves them. You may not be able to fix them. Maybe nobody else can fix them. But up in heaven, guess what? They'll be fixed. And they'll be in a glorified body one day. I hope that we'll take some of these thoughts tonight. And as we get around people a little bit more during the holidays, that it wouldn't be flare-ups, blow-ups, gasoline on fire, but it'd be peace on earth and goodwill toward the people we're around.